Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. Going to be back in just a few minutes with Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy to talk about the Illini's destruction of Michigan, 97-68. Don't go away.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. 800-218-4958. That's 800-218-4958.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley here with Kedrick Prince. Kedrick's a little under the weather tonight, but he is still on and going to give us his thoughts. Ked, this was a 29-point shellacking. You have to go back, you know, to, I don't know, 1952 or something, when Illinois, you know, had a similar style victory. It had been a while. And, of course, obviously when they went up to they went up to Ann Arbor a few years back, but this was the biggest win since they beat them in 1952 by 30, the Illini. So what were your thoughts as coming out of this game? What did you credit this this difference in Illini performance to?
Mike, I think they got challenged. I mean, they know they let one slip away last Saturday against Michigan State. And I know practice was tough for the last couple of days because he's not happy with the defense. They have to get better with that. And, again, if you want to contend, you want to do what, you know, they say they're going to do, you have to find ways to get stops, and you have to be tougher. I mean, Brad Underwood's teams always play defense. I mean, ever since he's gotten here, he wants his teams to be able to, you know, when people compete against them, he wants to make things difficult for them. So I knew coming in today, you know, that I expected a bounce back performance. I didn't expect this. I mean, I really didn't. But they came out and they, you know, they answered the bell right away. Michigan was hanging early, but, you know, that kid number zero, he looks back in form. And I tell you, before he was suspended. People were talking about Illinois as a Final Four team, and he started to get back to form, Mike. So, I mean, whoever played in Champaign tonight, maybe other than Purdue, I mean, they were probably going to lose tonight just based off what happened last Saturday.
Yeah, but no, I agree with that. And certainly it was, sometimes timing is everything. And I really felt like for those fans who didn't, who've been saying, for those fans who've been saying that Illinois, is just a disaster without a point guard, when Doug isn't playing for Michigan because it's a road game, we got to see what happens when you really don't have a point guard. Because basically they had a little bit of a high-low game with no ability to shoot from the three-point line. And that's just what we saw all game, and it was brutal to watch. So, I know that maybe Domask and having other guys help him out, it may not be it's not Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas, but Domask is still an all Big Ten player. And when he brings the ball up, he can do some things to make it really, really tough on the guys who are trying to guard him. So I guess there's some perspective that needs to be had for some Illini fans.
There is, Mike. With Marcus, you're asking a guy, to play the point guard spot. And at the end of the day, I will say, I'm not going to include you, made a big deal out of the point guard spot. And, Brad told us that, hey, yeah, that he can handle the ball. And, most of the time, though, other than push the ball in the fast break, it really is a Marcus Domask. And it doesn't seem to affect his game. I thought, like as I mentioned last week in the podcast, when they lost to Michigan State, I thought fatigue was an issue, and I think Brad gave him more rest. So maybe he was listening to our podcast tonight. I don't know, but anyway, I think this team, the way it's built, the way they share the basketball, and with Coleman Hawkins, his passing ability, I don't want to say the point guard spot for this team, because every team situation is different. It's overrated. But hell, they won 18 games in the top 15 in the country. So, people, we can make a big deal out of it, and they may come to bite them in the tournament. I don't know, but I know they can defend and well. And but they get a guy in the tournament who's jet quick like Walker, then yes, that may cause some problems. But if they defend the way we know they're capable of, I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah, they held Michigan to 42% shooting. And let's be real honest here. This is not a sharp shooting Michigan team, but nonetheless, you kept them into the low 40s. That was what Brad Underwood, has been looking for, is that type of effort. It's a great starting point because Illinois has two really tough road games coming up, because Maryland is, as much as Illinois has owned Michigan, Brad Underwood is 8-0 against Juwan Howard. Maryland has presented all sorts of troubles for the Illini, and that's this Saturday on Fox, and it's a 4:30 game. And then as you look next Wednesday night, a 5:30 start on BTN against Penn State on the road. Those two games, they may not be the greatest teams in the world, but they've given Illinois problems. And I would assume that when Illinois comes in, as the second place team in the Big Ten, they want to take a chunk out of them and see what they, both Maryland and Penn State are not going to assume that they're going to lose. And Maryland came into Illinois' house and beat them. So there's no reason to expect anything but tough games coming up, and Illinois' defense is going to have to travel.
Mike, you're 100% right. I mean, this is like I said earlier, this is gut check time. Maryland has owned Illinois. I mean, we can say, no, that's not true. I mean, I remember Brad Underwood's first year there. I mean, when they had a hard time getting the ball out, I remember sitting at press row thinking, Illinois is a better team, but why in the world are they struggling with Maryland? And they always have. If you go to Maryland and you don't take them out of the game right away, it's going to be a long day. But I think now, knowing what Brad has done, I think he's probably set the tone sending a message to Maryland, you better be ready to play because this team is going to be focused. I remember during media day, I was talking to Terrence Shannon about, you know, if there was one team that he could beat on the Big Ten schedule. Most of the guys said all of them. Terrence Shannon, one of the teams he mentioned was Penn State. So because they beat them all the time because they struggle with them. So, you know, this is your chance to, I think, to keep second place and to put pressure on Purdue because, you know, anybody can slip up. You know, there's upsets in college basketball all day, every day. So, you know, anybody can be beat. And if you take care of business yourself, then that don't happen. But, I mean, they can't lay an egg. They have to go out there and compete. You're not going to get calls on the road. You know, they can't have stupid mistakes. But Illinois is a better team. But Maryland coming into the season, you know, the less people forgot, they were picked to finish in the top four in the division by a lot of people. So the talent's there.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, just kind of looking at some highlights tonight, we can go real quick. Terrence Shannon, do we think he's back after this 31-point game that he was – I don't know. I don't think he played the last eight minutes or so of the game, had 31 points, so he was 2 points off his career high. And I'll be honest, had they played him a little bit more, he might have got 40.
He might have got 40, Mike, and I'll tell you, he's looking more and more comfortable with his shot. I mean, I think the game that really stood out for me with him was the Ohio State game. You can slowly see it, you know, with his shot, you know, before, you know, when you're off a while, like if you're a shooter, you know, whether it's your legs, timing, or whatever, me as a shot doctor, as I call myself, I thought he was aiming it. And I think now you look at him as a catch and shoot. It's a lot quicker, his release quicker, and he's not thinking about it. And he's able to get to the rim still. You know, he is going to punish people. I mean, he's averaging 20 something a game, well over 20 points a game in his last three or four games. So, and you know, you ask the question, is he back? I think he had 28 against Michigan State, if I remember correctly. So, I think he had 23 against Ohio State. So, I would say he is. And I'll tell you, the guy who's slowly starting to get back to form as well is Quincy Guerriere. I think he's another guy. When they were clicking, those two guys, and oh my gosh, I don't know what to say about Coleman. I mean, gee, me, Christmas. But anyway.
I'll tell you what to say about Coleman because I was reading on the hashtag Illini, and, you know, and I see people talking about how Coleman Hawkins is going to be an NBA player. And I just have to laugh at it because over the last 2 years, I think yourself, myself, and Brad have been the people who really have been the most supportive of Coleman Hawkins. Of course, we've all coached before, so we could kind of see all the things that he does. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's climbing on the bandwagon here. And it seems to me like they're really late to the party. They're late to the party by about a year and a half if you actually understood the sport.
You know, Brad has has mentioned multiple times, and, you know, we see things different, we coach different, but that doesn't mean, you know, one of us right or wrong. Brad's always talked about his passing ability and him making other players better. One of the things I've always talked about when he wasn't scoring early in his career was directing traffic, you know, just because he knew what people were supposed to be. Last year, he was so frustrated because he had a bunch of young freshman point guards who didn't know the offense. You don't see that happen as much this year. They know. Do you know what I saw tonight? Was when Draymond came in the game, I saw Terrence Shannon do it to him. But for the most part, this team was older, which is what he wanted. If you guys remember, I told you guys when the season was over that he wanted an older team, guys that have been there, been through the wars, and they've all bought into that. So that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, you know, Kedrick, Coleman has been so good at reading the court, whether, you know, Brad's talking about his passing, but, you know, he used to be just a really good help defender. Now he's a great one-on-one and help defender. You could see all those things year and a half, 2 years ago. And I'm glad everybody decides to show up and be supportive now. Brad, any thoughts? You've just joined us. Any thoughts on, you know, how Coleman Hawkins has evolved over the last 2.5 years. And man, we're finally seeing, you know, we're finally seeing everybody else acknowledge what we've seen a while ago.
Yeah. You know, Coleman's just a really good basketball player. He makes the right play, you know, 90% of the time. The one thing he's doing, obviously shooting the ball extremely well. That makes a difference. I think he's got confidence in his shot. But, you know, he still gets the basket and he can get downhill and do some things. But Kendrick mentioned that he really does direct traffic, get people in the right spot, especially against, I thought tonight we saw that against the zone. He got guys into the right position immediately when they go zone. And then they were, when Illinois would again get the ball into a certain location, whether it's in the middle or in the, you know, on the low block, then they would switch and go man to man with some help. And so they were trying, Michigan was trying to junk up defenses, switch defenses. You know, it's the man zone type thing, what they used to call it in Northwestern, the moan. But Coleman recognizes that stuff. And so it's like having a point guard on the floor who's playing, you know, center basically. So he's been great. I think defensively, you know, we talked about help. He can guard all five positions. You know, he's going to struggle against big physical guys at times because he isn't a big, you know, he's playing center, but that's not the right thing. But then what he gives up maybe on that end, he gets back on the other end because they can't guard him, you know? So, but he's been fantastic at making the right play, whether it's passing, whether it's, you know, just everything out there, you know, screening, moving, whatever. He just understands the spacing. I saw that tonight. Ked mentioned the directing. I saw that multiple times, especially with the young guys, even Terrence a couple times, he was telling Terrence where to go against the zone. So that's he's just a really cerebral player, really smart kid.
Yeah. Mike, I want to add one more thing real quick. In the tournament, you know, when they play against teams that are familiar with them, they don't scout as well as the Big Ten, I think that's going to cause problems because, like tonight, he was guarding a 6-foot guard tonight like it was a 7-foot center. And I think that's going to cause problems because teams are going to be used to having a 6'10 guy when Illinois switches, you know, the way they do. And when your center, if that's what you want to call him, is going forward, can guard your point guard. So I think that's going to be a nice weapon to have because teams aren't used to it. I've heard a lot of people mention it. Will it be Robbie Hummel, Steve Bartle? I'm listening. Very few guys I know are 6'10" can bring the ball down the court and guard a point guard the way he can do it. I've not seen it.
Yeah, I remember earlier in the season when I'm trying to think if it was Michigan State, but point guard went in and tried to dribble and go down the lane on Coleman. And, you know, Coleman basically got him to the point where, you know, he started 20 feet one side of the basket, tried to go against him in the lane, and then ended up dribbling out the other side at 20 feet. And, you know, I'm sure he was thinking that he could make a move on a 6'10 guy and, you know, create some space, and it just didn't happen. And I think seeing him play that way was good. Brad, what do you think the key was for Illini on defense tonight? Because I know that Michigan may not be the Michigan of old, but they really, you know, Illinois really handcuffed that team.
Yeah, until they subbed and fouled in the last 8 minutes. Right. I mean, really, Michigan struggled. And that's I thought they did a really good job of two things. I thought they did a good job of not letting them get downhill drives, straight lines. They made them go side to side to try and get, you know, put them on an angle outside they still scored some points in the paint, but they did a good job of making them, pushing them to on an angle instead of going straight downhill. I think there was only two times where I remember a guy just getting a free run. So I thought their guards did a better job of getting over the top of those screens and pushing those guys out and fighting through. You know, they talk about, you know, fighting through that, or, you know, I don't know. They have a phrase that they use, whatever. But it's something that you have to do, and I think it takes a real commitment to playing on the defensive end to play that way. So I thought that was huge. I thought they did a better job of communication. The first play of the game, actually, they had a miscommunication on a switch, and it really – Michigan didn't score. They didn't catch it. But there are things like that happen, and there are fewer of those. And when there are fewer miscommunications, fewer mix-ups, you're going to have to do a better job defensively. And if you guys are going to score sometimes. I think sometimes, they weren't good defensively. Well, they actually were. And people get, you know, too caught up in – well, they had a dunk or they had this. Well, yes, because the other team is going to score. It's college basketball. Nobody is so bad that they can't score baskets. And so you have to understand that that's part of it. And you're going to, you know, you have an elite offense. You just have to be good defensively. You don't even have to be great.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, and especially, you know, it does. I can tell you as a fan, you go, oh, I would prefer, you know, that, you know, Reed not get a couple of those easy baskets on the inside, or Edie or Reese. You pick the big guy. But when Illinois has the ability to answer back with a three, those easy baskets all of a sudden become a way to fall 1 point further behind.
Yeah, and then you have to look at the other side. Is Illinois forced 11 turnovers tonight for Michigan, which means that, you know, there were some of those are trying to make post-entry passes. So if you take that, okay, yeah, the guy shoots, you know, 6 of 11 or something. Well, then there were 3 turnovers trying to post-entry him. He had a charge. He had that. You start putting that all together, that's not a very efficient way of scoring as long as you don't foul them. And I think that's where, you know, there have been times when they foul. And you got to make them take tough shots over top of you. They miss. And you know, they're going to make some. It's just part of it. But you don't give up threes. And that was how – you know, I said that in the pregame. I said Michigan, the only way they could pull an upset was to get hot from three. So you couldn't allow them to get hot from three. And one way to do that is just don't let them get up very many threes. They only got 10 threes attempted all night.
Yep. Good.
Yeah. And only made one of them. You know, I know they mentioned, you know, about the analytics and stuff. But, I mean, a lot of people, we've mentioned this before, they don't understand why Dane doesn't play. And Brad is really okay with giving up twos because he thinks he can outscore. When people think he's stupid when he says he wants to shoot 25, 33s, you know, analytically he's right. Because if you make those threes and you give up those twos, mathematically, you win the game, you know. So I get it. And teams know that they're not going to double team. I wish there was a way they could, you know, come back the fact that, you know, there's some teams are taking away Marcus's booty ball, so to speak. Now, they don't do it to Ty, because I've not seen him. Ty's able to get downhill still. I don't think he's as effective as Marcus is, but they've taken that part of his game away. And, you know, I hope that, to his credit, he made some remarkable passes out of that to Colton Hawkins and Tim Shannon. So you have to pick your poison. That's why it's nice. Kind of like having Shaq in the middle or Kofi in the middle, and you got shooters. Can you imagine what Kofi would have been like, you know, with a team that could shoot like this?
Yeah, yeah, that spacing. I think that's one of the things that people probably underestimate is the value of spacing on the offensive end, and you know that gives you the ability to freelance, you know, once nobody's in the middle, all of a sudden Terrence Shannon, you don't have much help when you're trying to guard him. And if you let him shoot threes, the reason I said Terrence Shannon is back is because tonight every part of his game was working. He was hitting the three ball. He was getting to the basket in transition. And while he didn't get as many fouls as I thought he had, you know, he was 4 for 5 from the line. That's the Terrence Shannon that hits you at all three levels. And it just, it's a nightmare to guard him. And then that opens things up for Damask and Hawkins. And I do think, you know, you saw the Illini offense, even with Harmon, with some key rebounds, you know, and you had Ty Rogers picking his spots. They were a tough load to handle tonight. Brad, anybody else jump out at you when you're looking at the contributors to the victory?
Well, I thought Quincy Guerrier was better. Guerrier was back. He was looked like himself. 4 for 4, 2 for 2 from three, 10.7 rebounds. I thought he looked like himself. I saw him getting down and guarding people. He was better. You know what I mean? I thought it was a better him. Much more energy, much more active, you know, getting hands on balls, whether it's tips or whatever. But I thought you saw him, you know, knock down a couple open shots, which I think is big. But also I saw him attacking closeouts again and doing a good job there. And him playing well, they ran that same play. I really love some of the actions they run. They're so simple. They start the second half, they run their little pistol play where they get Damask the ball in the mid post range, you know, about 15 feet from the basket. And then Michigan, what they'll do is they'll put a guy, their big guy, going the lane, whoever's guarding Rogers. So Rogers back screens Guerrier's guy on the other side, sets a screen behind him. They, they throw the cross court pass, and he's wide open. And then the other thing you saw them do was cut down the lane. So now you got a cut down the lane, you've got a backside screen, and somebody's getting a wide open shot or a dunk every time. It's just, it's virtually impossible to guard, or you let Damascus go one-on-one, and that's not very effective either. So, yeah, I just love what they're doing offensively.
I agree. And, Mike, if you ask me, I mean, I know we talked about it earlier. My pick is Terrence Shannon. I mean, we talked about Coleman Hawkins, and I think Quincy was an X factor. I've been saying it, and I'm still going to say it. But you got a guy that didn't play the last 8 minutes of the game, as we mentioned earlier, and he had 31 points. I say he's back, and they are a different team. I really want to see him go to Maryland and carry this on to Maryland and to Penn State, because, like we said, those are wins. You got to get the wins back that you lost. Teams that you shouldn't have lost to. You shouldn't have lost to Michigan State, and you definitely shouldn't have lost to Maryland at home. You got to go get them back now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Brad, one other question I wanted to ask you about is, Illini had 17 assists, had 11 in the first half. Obviously, it dropped off in the second half as everybody was out of the game, you know, the last 8 to 10 minutes. I thought they made the extra pass several times, but they also made the right pass where you found the open guy. Any thoughts on that as a guy who's coached basketball for years, and that's something that's so hard to get your teams to do?
Yeah, I mean, they knew. I mean, that's the thing, and that's where, you know, when you have a really good offensive, you have good spacing. You guys were talking about spacing a minute ago. You have good spacing, it really makes it easy for cuts. It makes it easy for spot-ups. It makes it easy to find the right guy. But even if you have great spacing and you have guys wide open, you have to find them, right? And so that's one of the things that's hard to do. That's one of the things I don't know. You try and teach them through film but through repetition, like seeing it over and over and gameplay, you know, experience. But at the same time, sometimes guys just got to get in the game and make the right read. You got some, you know, quite a few guys, you know, whether it's Hawkins or Damascus. Shannon made some nice passes today. Dane actually made some good reads. I thought overall they really did a nice job of finding the right guy and making the right play, like you mentioned. And that's something that I think is learned, but experience is the biggest teacher there. And some guys maybe have some natural instincts or whatever, but experience is what makes those guys so good at, you know, just making the right read, making the easy pass. And even guys who are great passers, sometimes when they're freshmen, they don't do that because they haven't got the experience yet. I think Moretti's a great passer, but I don't think he quite sees the right guy sometimes yet. It's there, but it's just not, he's not at that level of experience that you have from guys like Hawkins and Shannon and Damascus, et cetera.
Yeah, and that's going to come with time. You know, I think, you know, tonight was a really good night to get some of those guys in. I know Drayvon got a lot of minutes. I know his father is not happy. I mean, he texted me a couple of times during the game about him learning the game and when to shoot, when not to shoot. And he's an aggressive kid. I mean, he's been that way his whole life. And, you know, but when these kids do get the opportunity, because he did get more minutes than he traditionally has, you got to do something with it. I'm not worried about Dane. I mean, he wasn't himself tonight, but for the most part, I mean, he's been solid, you know, when he gets in the game. But, you know, with Nico and, like I said to you, with Dre, you know, when you get opportunities like this, it's not about going out trying to score 15, 20 points. You have to show Brad you can guard, number one, and let the game come to you. And I think they're trying so hard because I know they want to be on the floor. I mean, all the kids want to be on the floor because that's why you play the game.
You know, one quick question, Brad. How's Hansberry's back? You know, he was dressed, but you know, didn't get into the game. Is he starting to have some positives where he can at least get some practice time in?
I mean, he was working out pregame, you know, doing a lot of things. I think they don't like the contact right now. I mean, so trying to limit, you know, because, you know, the reality is, you know, you don't want to, if a guy's got issues, you don't want him to have, you don't want to make it worse. And, but he was doing a lot of the, he was doing almost everything, you know, in pregame, lefty hooks, righty hooks. But what happens a lot of times is after you get out there and you get moving in that pregame, it starts to, and you, I think it's hard for a guy to come off the bench then if you've got those spasms issues, because you get stiff, right? And yeah. So it's very difficult to come in. You remember, we've seen guys, you know, Larry Bird had to, he's laying on his stomach on the bench. He's riding an exercise bike on the bench. All these different things guys have done over the years to try and keep that loose when they go out of the game. And sometimes when you're a sub like that, it's hard. You sit there for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, or whatever it is. And it's hard to then just pop up and go in there and play without causing some damage. So I think that's where he's at right now. And, you know, obviously I don't know that they need him yet, but boy, it'd be nice to have another, you know, big man who has that ability if you get in some foul trouble and you need to play him.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to agree with that. And I remember seeing him the last home game I saw him. I don't remember who it was against, but he had a brace on. And I know he had a little gadget at the scores table that he would go up and periodically use. So I know he's getting treatment on it. Another would mention exactly what Brad just said. You know, you don't want this to be lingering. You want to be healthy, and you want to look out what's best for him in his future. But what's the point of playing him right now when he's injured? And then we'll just make it worse. And then, you know, it can affect the rest of his career.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Brad, heck of a victory tonight, 97-68. We've got a couple really tough games, you know, coming up. Maryland, Penn State on the road. Typically, you know, you hear those two names, you're like, oh, yeah, they're, you know, they're solid teams, but not a threat. But these teams have been a problem for the Illini. Any thoughts going into this duo of road trip games?
Yeah, you know, there's no question that these have been kind of the nemesis for Brad Underwood, have been Maryland. It was as great as he's been against Michigan, you know, Juwan Howard, what's he 8-0 against Juwan Howard?
Yes.
So he's struggled almost that level against Maryland through a couple different coaches. And now I think he's had, you know, last year with, you know, they really struggled with Penn State. So I think that's something that they can exercise some demons here. I think if they shoot the ball well at all, they're going to win these games. I mean, if they shoot the ball anything like they did today, they're going to win. But, you know, it's going to be – they need to shore up the defense. I don't think they can just let Reese go one-on-one because he'll draw some fouls on Hawkins. I'd like to see them, you know, post-trap, whatever it is, or do some, you know, kind of digging or, you know, whatever, stunning and things like that to make it hard on him. And Jameer Young, in reality, is if you start to guard those two guys in Maryland, you're pretty successful, and they're not a great offensive team otherwise. Penn State has, again, another dynamic point guard, Nace Baldwin, so you got to guard him. So I think that's where you have to, you know, those are the things they have to do. And the defense, this is time for the put up or shut up thing. You know, Underwood's talked about defense now, and he said, you know, they made strides. I thought they did tonight. Now they got to go on the road and bring that defense, because if the defense travels, this is an elite offensive team that's going to win most of their games if they guard well.
You can't go to Maryland and give up 80 points, 85 points, expect to win. They're going to have to guard, and they're going to have to make shots. It's basic 101. They have to do the basic things, and things that they've been doing well. And they, you know, even when they lost to Michigan State, they shot the ball pretty well. They can't self-destruct down the stretch. And I'm going to tell you, this may come out wrong. I want to see in the last 5, 6, 7 minutes of the game, if teams make adjustments, I want to see them make adjustments. Because what I saw last week, and I saw Northwestern, a couple other teams go at Luke Goody. Now, he didn't play a lot tonight, but if teams are going to make adjustments, you got 17 coaches over there. I want to see some adjustments made, because that's when the game is won and lost. They only had that game won last weekend. It was one that I know that they regret. But I don't know if Luke was hurt. I saw him Sunday. He looked fine, but he didn't play a lot early. So I don't know if there was a reason for that, but I know they'll need him, but I don't want to see teams just physically take advantage of mismatches, because I think Illinois can guard better than what they have in some of these losses.
And finally, Brad, why don't you wrap things up for us, and then Ked can give us a wrap on his thoughts on tonight's game, and we can let people go and enjoy the rest of their trip home tonight.
This is what you do against the last place team in the league, right? Yeah. You take care of business and you beat them by 30, and then you move on to the next one. I think Illinois is kind of solidifying their spot as the number two team in the Big Ten behind Purdue. I think, you know, these now they got to build that resume, you know, a couple road wins, adding to that resume, beat Iowa at home. You start, you know, the next, I really feel like, you know, the next, what is it, four games are all games that are very winnable. They're games that they really need to, you know, that are games that they're going to be favored. You know, look at the analytics side. KenPom's got them at least a 64% favorite in every game, even at Maryland. They got to take care of business in these four games. If they do that, now you're sitting in a really good spot heading to Wisconsin and then having Purdue at home and at Iowa to close the season. So this is this opportunity to kind of build your confidence, and because this team is, you know, Juwan Howard said tonight, they are good and they have a chance to, said he expects them to make a run in the NCAAs. And, you know, they play a lot different than everybody else that you're going to see in the NCAA tournament. So that makes them a hard check. Nobody plays like them offensively. Nobody has a guy like Shannon in transition. Nobody plays through a guy like Damask in the post. And nobody has I'll be honest with you, there aren't many teams that shoot the ball as well as they do at multiple positions. So this is a team that has a chance, but now you got to take care of business so you get the draw that you want.
I agree. My closing remark is this. Maryland has owned you. You are the better team. If you don't come to practice tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, the shoot around, whatever it is, you better be dialed in. This is, to me, you know, this game, I don't want to rehash it because, you know, this podcast is long, but Illinois is a better team. You know what happened at the end of the last game with the handshake line. All the players know what was said. You're competitive. This is Division I athletics. If you come out here on Saturday and you lay an egg, I will be very disappointed because I know this game matters, and this one should matter. You need this win because, to me, Maryland is not a team that you should have issues with in the Penn State. I can see if it was Wisconsin or somebody like that. And Maryland traditionally has been a good team, but Illinois is better than Maryland. And like Brad mentioned, you know, whether it's KenPom, you know, going on the road, you're good enough to win. You just have to gut check and find a way to get stops when it really matters.
Yep, and I'll you know, third this motion, because to me, one of the things that makes really the great teams great is that they beat the teams they're supposed to. And when you look at a schedule, you know, every year, you know, if you think about it, if you're a good team in college basketball, you've probably got out of a 30, let's just round it off, out of a 30-game season, you've probably got 22 games that you could win. And then you've got eight games of teams that I guess should win, I should say. And you've got eight games that are coin flips or you're not favored in. So if you go take care of business, you're automatically at 22-8. And then if you, you know, win half of the coin flip teams, now you're 26-4, and you know, you're looking at a top three seed as you go into the NCAA tournament. And while there are upsets every year, you know, give me a three seed, a 1-2 or a three over a 4-8 any year. And that's where Illinois has an opportunity now to make some noise and see if they can lock themselves in at a lower seed in the NCAA tournament. And there's no guarantees. We all saw that a few years back. But boy, you know, if you've got one of the higher seeds, it gives you a pathway that provides opportunities for an NCAA run, which is what the Fighting Illini program in general, and Brad Underwood specifically, would love to have for the Illini this year. So stay with us, folks. And of course, as we said earlier, Illinois at Maryland, 4:30 Central on Fox. We will be right here after the game to talk about it. And of course, IlliniGuys.com, you can get all the information you need to stay up to date. There's really, not really saying anything anybody doesn't know, but there's nobody who's closer to the program than Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. You want to know what's going on? IlliniGuys.com is the place to be. So for that, we will let you go. And right now, though, we have 1 minute of commercials and then we'll wrap up.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, and thanks to Ked and Brad for stopping by. You can catch them at IlliniGuys.com. Their articles, and back in the message boards, all of their scoops, the rumors, the innuendos, the things they hear. There's a lot more going on than you will ever know about, and it's fun to keep up with that. Subscribe at IlliniGuys.com. We, of course, will be back later this week. Go Illini!
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.